This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To Michael Yon, my good colleague in Panama City, who's here to appraise us of what it is that Panama needs, what it is that the U.S. needs from Panama. And in the meantime, you will recall that Panama is the hinge for the migration through the Darien Gap to the Mexico-Texas border and then into the United States. If Panama shuts down, the Darien Gap shuts down. If the Darien Gap shuts down, then the rush of migrants stops, dries up, goes away. Now, the most recent statistic at the Texas border talked about 29,000 encounters in the month of January, which is very low. It used to be 29,000 a day. However, Michael, I want to begin not with the numbers, but with the Panamanian government. Since Mr. Rubio's visit, there have been reports, in any event, that there's trouble in Panama having to do with the copper mine, having to do with the budget, having to do with Social Security for the people of Panama, and the questions about the Mulino government. What's your opinion of the Mulino government? Is it stable now? And does it respond to the pressure from the United States that it can't defend itself? Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening. I'm in Panama City again. A few days ago, I was back down in the, not actually Darien, but the Darien region. I was in the Cunayala area watching the reverse flows. But to your question about stability, Mulino, there's a lot of people that would like to see him go, but that's normal with presidents around the world, right? But it's clear that he's on the wrong side of the United States. And it's clear that the honeymoon period is over here as well in Panama. For instance, there's the issues with the copper mine, which is absolutely huge here, right? Of huge significance, and it's a huge copper mine. The copper mine will bring in about as much revenues as the canal, right? And right now, the instability that's growing here in Panama, which could burst out in the next week or two, depending on a court ruling dealing with Social Security, the place is percolating based on economics. For instance, they're fighting now about whether the Social Security payment should be cut and the age of retirement should be extended, and that's not popular with anybody here. It soon tracks the communist labor union, which is relatively small in Panama, 30 or 40,000 people. No, you know, they probably inflate their numbers, but they tend to be quite violent. Misako and I were in one of the protests about, I don't know, 10 days ago or 2 weeks ago. That one didn't get violent. I thought that it would actually. But there was a serious rainstorm that broke out right when things were heating up a bit. Lightning and thunder came, and this is dry season, which was interesting. So the heavy rain and the lightning ended that protest. But the bottom line is there are many things causing instability here. The main one is economics, right? And of course, then the Chinese are coming in with their normal debt traps, which they're building the fourth bridge here, not far from me. I just saw it again last night. And this is obviously causing some friction with the United States. Not to mention, now I want to be very clear, a lot of people say that China runs the Panama Canal. That is categorically false. However, they do have ports on either side of the Panama Canal, and they do control those, right? And so could they theoretically close the canal? Absolutely. That's child's play, right? In fact, we had massive defenses here. I just picked up an antique book on this yesterday that went from the beginning of the canal days from 1914 all the way up until we gave it away. For instance, we were worried about Japanese and Germans destroying it in World War II. In fact, there were Japanese spies here. The Japanese were rounded up here and sent to camps in the United States. Not far from me is where they collected the Japanese, very, very close, actually, like 10 minutes away. And there was a Japanese spy down in Darien, actually, in the middle of nowhere. It's still the middle of nowhere where he was at. And he had a radio transmitter out in the middle of the Darien. I don't know how the spies up here we're communicating with him because I'm near the canal, and Darien Gap is 200 kilometers away at this point, where he had his headquarters up there in the mountains. It's called Pierre Mountain, P-I-R-R-E Mountain. You can find it. It's down near Jovica. And so I'm guessing they were communicating with, the spies up here were probably communicating with the spy in the Darien who used his radio. I'm guessing they were using messenger pigeons, because pigeons are incredibly effective and secure and very fast communications, but I don't know how they were doing it. But the bottom line is we rounded up all the Japanese and made them leave, right? And the Germans as well, we were doing the same with Germans. And, but now we, the Chinese own both sides of the port. They're, they're one of the major owners in the copper mine, which is just as important to Panama's economy as the canal. And the canal, if you had two arteries to the economy here, one would be the canal and the other would be that copper mine, even as the Social Security is, collapsing. Anyway, bottom line is, that's that part. The other component is the invasions. I'm not going to call them migrations. There is a reverse flow going. There's two reverse flows going that we know of here at the time. One are the ones who are the so-called migrants who made it to the United States and are being flown back here, and they're being kept in a hotel called the Hotel Decapolis. Again, right down the road from me now. We've been there several times looking at that's one flow.
Flown from where, Michael? Where are they coming from?
They're coming from somewhere in the United States, but I don't know where, and we're not allowed to talk with those people. We tried to check into the hotel and that sort of thing, and Masako Ganaha and I have been down there numerous times. There's lots of police there, armed police, not letting the flow that's like sent down by the United States and are staying in the Decapolis Hotel. Why are they staying in downtown Panama City, by the way? If you look up the Decapolis Hotel, and you look at it where it's at on the map, and you'll go, that's pretty far from any of the airports. You know, why are they keeping them there? And anyway, that's where they're keeping them. But the hotel right next door is owned by the same owner, and it's called the Megapolis Hotel. And they're casino hotels, right? So the hotel where the so-called migrants are being deported from and staying in, that's a 4-star hotel. We actually did check in online on Expedia to try to get in there. And when you show up to the Decapolis, they give you vouchers to stay at the same price next door at the 5-star hotel, the Megapolis. Anyway, the United States apparently has, according to somebody at the front desk of Decapolis, has rented the entire hotel, Decapolis, for the migrante. So that's one flow. One flow going through the expensive 4-star hotel. And why they're staying in downtown Panama City, unknown to me. But now the other flow are the ones who we don't think made it to the United States. Why do we think they did not make it to the United States? Because we went down to a place called Carti about 4 days ago now, and maybe 5 days, 4 days ago, and we talked with Venezuelans. There are about 50 or 60 Venezuelans who are returning. We talked to only about 10 or 12 of them, but they were returning. And the ones that we spoke with had not made it to the United States. They turned around from Mexico. For instance, one, he showed us his ticket. He had made it to Tapachula, Mexico, which is that southernmost city in Mexico. It's sort of like the El Paso of Mexico. It's right on the border with Guatemala. We've actually been there looking at this. But he had Venezuelan who came through the Darien Gap in October of 2024. That's what he told us. And he is actually on the records of having gone through the Darien in October 2024. We checked it out. He's definitely, his name is there, right? And his birthday, everything is right. It's the same guy, 99% chance. And he made it to Mexico. He was then realized he wasn't going to make it to the United States safely. So he decided to turn around. So he bought an airplane ticket that would take him. And he showed us the ticket and I photographed it. So he was to fly from Tapachula to Mexico City, to Medellin, I think it was, and then over to another Cocle or something like that. It's right on the Venezuela-Colombia border. I've forgotten the name of the town, but there's an airport right on the border with Venezuela. So he was flying to that one. So to re-say what I said, he had a ticket from Tapachula to Mexico City, down to Medellin and over to the Venezuelan border is another leg of it. But that was canceled. And for reasons he did not know, and I don't know the reasons either. So then he came down on bus. Now he was about to try to get on a boat down in Carti. That's near the Darien. It's in Acuna Indian area. And we went there. In fact, an eight-year-old died there about a week ago trying to cross, drowned. And so the seas are high. So while we were there watching these Venezuelans try to get on the boats just days ago, the Panamanian immigration came along with Panamanian Centerfront, which is like their border patrol, came and said, this route is closed. They did that right in front of us. So that's, you know, confirmed information because the Panamanian information on my video said, we're closing this route. So we're going to send a bus down. That's what the immigration said. We're going to send a bus down here to Carti and pick all you Venezuelans up, and we're going to take you to Colón. Colón, Panama, is on the Gulf side or the Atlantic side of the Panama Canal. So we have not been to Colón at this point to check that out. But that's what the immigration said right in front of us to a group of about 50 or 60 Venezuelans who are trying to return on their own. These were not sent back by the United States. These are voluntary returns who probably did not make it to America at all. Like all the ones that we spoke with had not made it to America. Now, I'm not saying that all of them didn't make it to America, but the ones that we spoke with had not made it to America.
The news includes the remarks by the White House that the reason Mr. Trump suspended the Chevron waivers that gave Chevron and Venezuela permission to sell a certain number of barrels a day, the reason they suspended it in part is because Venezuela is not taking returning migrants fast enough. That's what the White House said, fast enough. Didn't say not at all, just fast enough. Now, Michael, a detail, because we talked about those 177 young men getting off that aircraft at Caracas Airport about a week ago or so. I'm told that they were coming from Guantanamo. They had first been rounded up because they'd committed crimes in some fashion or were accused of crimes in the U.S. That explains why they gave that hero's welcome. Have you met anyone from the U.S. who has been at Guantanamo and is now being returned to Venezuela? Anybody talk about Guantanamo?
I don't recall meeting anybody here who said they'd been to Guantanamo Bay. If I met somebody, I would probably remember it and
sure,
pull out the video
sure.
Immediately. Now, I sent a message a few days ago after I got back from Carti. I was down there with Masako Ganaha and Chuck Holton, actually. We went down there together, and we made a bunch of video. And I sent this to Mike Flynn and Eric Prince and Tom Homan. And I sent this, and I sent it to you, actually. And this video that I made, and, you know, because Eric Prince had just said, and every time I mention Eric Prince's name or Mike Flynn's name, people are like, why are you all buddied up with them? I'm like, dude, we're at war. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not doing a purity test on everybody. We are at war. And Eric Prince has talked about, he just said that he has a plan to deport 500,000 a month, which is the number I've been publicizing. We need to get rid of 500,000 a month, or this isn't even serious.
I contribute that the Trump administration, at some point, you know, you read things, they just pass by. Use the number of a million in X number of months or the year. That's what the number I've seen here. Your number is new to me. I'm speaking with Michael Yan. He's in Panama City. The topic is what numbers will take to get the people who traveled to America in these last 4 years without documentation and are still here, what it will take to return them to their homelands or near to. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.